question. Do you guys mind like going a little bit like off format towards the end?
Off format?
Yeah, because I have a few jams that should be retired.
Okay.
Oh, we can definitely talk.
Like that people should stop playing like at parties, at clubs, and it just played out at this
point. I was thinking about doing the same thing at some point. Let's do that.
Let me first crack open my Lime-A-Rita to offset this coffee that I've had earlier.
He'll be like, oh shit, that's the jam. 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 He'll be like,
all righty, we in the house. It's the jam again. Was this episode 4?
Yes.
We are not. How did we get to 4 episodes already?
So quick.
It was like just yesterday. I said, hey, Kim, let's do this podcast. And she's like, yes. And now here we are 2 months into the year, almost into the third and into our fourth podcast of The Jam.
Yes.
If you're not familiar, I am Merc 80. You know what I'm saying? We are in the house of Kim and Chris Lehman.
What's up?
What's going on, y'all?
We have a miniature special guest here also of the house. Say hello. Hi.
Hi.
What's your name?
Eli.
Hi, Eli. Are you gonna sit in on the show tonight? No. Okay. we're saving him for one of the guests later. We definitely have to do a podcast with him, play some of his jams.
Oh yes.
You know what I mean?
Huh?
What do you say?
Michael Jackson, Billie Jean.
Okay.
All right. What's up?
There we go. We have a special guest in the house, Mr. Jesse Fairfax. How are you today?
Peace. I'm great. How are you guys?
All right. Awesome. Excellent. Jesse comes to us courtesy of Go In Radio, his own podcast show. And what's all the stuff that you do? You write? You have a podcast? What else you do?
I think that about sums it up.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't do comedy too?
No.
Has anybody told you should?
Not stand up. Like, a lot of my friends have told me I'm funny, but no, I would never try stand up. Like, that's a whole other talent that I don't think I'd do good at, no.
I think you should try it, man. I think you should try it. See, what's interesting is, like, Jesse, like, over text and stuff like that seems, like, very quiet and stuff like that, but if you listen to his podcast, he's fucking hilarious.
I turn up on my show.
Yeah.
I turn up on my show, but I'm a pretty laid-back guy.
Yeah.
And the rest of life
for you is that mainly like your space to do your alter ego, or is that just how you are, like when you get around people, you chilling?
It's just my space to just be comfortable and just like really just say whatever's on my mind. Like I have the freedom to just really just go in. Like, it's called Go In Radio because I just go in on whatever topic I want to talk about, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I have 100% freedom. You know,
Word.
No FCC regulations, no.
Right.
You know, that's the power of the internet. You can get on, you can create your own show, and you can say whatever you want to say.
Hell yeah. So, I'm with that. That's what this is about, too.
Yep.
Speaking of which, let's go ahead and get into the ritual as we usually do it, where we define our terms of what the jam is. Okay. So if you've never heard the podcast yet, if this is your first time listening to the jam, you will now understand this is what we do. So here we play the jams. Everybody says, yo, that's my jam or whatever. We define that here. And so to me, I don't know if it's changed really very much, but to me, the jam, what makes a song the jam is that it has the perfect combination of rhythm and melody that makes you move, that makes you get active. Like you just, it's involuntary. You know what I mean? That's my personal definition of what makes a song the jam. And we're going to play examples of that later. But let's go ahead and go around the room. Chris?
I can remember how mine was. But my definition of a jam is something that hits you in your soul to the point where it makes you want to get up and actually move. The songs that'll hit you that make you want to dance. There's something about that jam that just, whatever you hear, wherever you hear it, it's just like, it got you. And it's like pulling you in. Like, come on, I know you want to dance. You feeling it. Get up, do something. That's my definition of the jam.
Word.
My definition of the jam is identical to Chris's definition of the jam at this point. They are just completely fused together.
Not because you're all married or anything. No bias. Nothing no to bias. Do with it at okay. all. All right.
I would add to it, though, I believe that a jam, it also takes you back to some place, some memory, some point in time that makes you throw your hands in the air. And like we said with the last one, makes you go, oh, it's a collective, oh, from people in the room. So, yeah.
Word. Mm-hmm. Jesse.
I think importantly, a jam has to be a black song.
Okay,
you know,
really? No. What about Hall & Oates? We can't.
Well, they're like technically, you
making
know,
black songs.
Yeah, like it can't be like the Eagles, like Hotel California. That's not a jam.
You
it's
don't think
a,
so?
It's a beloved song. It's something that everybody loves, okay. but you don't hear that. You like, oh, that's like it gives you that feeling of just soul, yeah. like yeah. you guys are saying, yeah. and it's something that unifies. People like no matter where you stand on the Ether takeover debate, you know,
right?
No matter what side you stand on, if you hear something that's the jam, you're like, oh, you know, we don't have to agree on that, but we're in the party and this is the jam.
You know, I think that, and I think that's what connects it too is when I say that idea of rhythm, because any other song that I think of by white artists, Asian artists, Latino artists, whatever, there's a rhythm there. You know what I'm saying? There's a beat, and so. If it's, you know, what's that song? Turn Around, that 80s song, you know what I'm saying?
Oh,
it's
yeah.
real cheesy
oh, yeah.
and stuff. It's not a, you know what I'm saying? Like, I use that as a joke to tell people, like, we're not playing that. Like, we're not playing, that, you know what I'm saying? That stuff that got that beat on it, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So there's certain songs where it has to have that, you know what I'm saying, that rhythm or something that gets it going that, you just can't turn away from and that too, like you're saying, that soul, that essence of recognition. But yeah, I mean, a lot of what we're playing is on the real, largely black music. I'm gonna go in the archives and think if there's a song that is the jam that is not at least black in spirit. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I can't think of one. Can you
definition.
Think of one?
Not right off.
Not
the
off
bat.
The top, but I'm gonna start digging myself and actually like. Something that doesn't have, like I like your definition, that's black in spirit. It doesn't have that kind of sound.
Okay,
like,
speaking of which, Smells Like Teen Spirit, Nirvana.
Yeah, that's a jam, sort of.
Because when that beat, yeah, when it gets to that hype part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's like a white jam.
I know a lot of black folks that know that
song. No, it's a hard
song.
No. It's a classic, yeah.
As I was thinking about when Super Bowl and Give It Away came on.
Oh, man.
And everybody was just like, well, those of us who are in that age range that remember
right.
that song when it dropped was like, oh, this. And people kind of got up and started dancing in comparison to not that anything was going bad with Bruno Mars.
No.
But it was just like, oh, so.
I was really hoping they were going to do Under the Bridge. That really would have been my moment for me. Because when Prince did Purple Rain, that just like, I still think he was one of the illest Super Bowl performers.
Yeah,
I think Bruno Mars did a good job, though.
He did. Yeah. You know. Good.
So anyway,
I would say nothing in the '80s either. Nothing
in the '80s. Michael
dig.
Jackson, but he's black.
We got to dig.
Yeah, we'll dig.
I'm really gonna think about that. Mm-hmm. But let's really do the honors here. You know what I'm saying? We got a guest in the house. You know what I'm saying? So let's get to know our guests a little bit better. Jesse, I consider him already kind of I call them new old friends. Because they're so connected to people in my life that are good friends, one of which who somehow or another, he pretty much just took her off of the map. His fiance took her off of the map. I have not seen her. I don't get text messages anymore for a hello. I'm like, hey, how you been? I haven't seen you in a while. And silence. So he has her wrapped up. It's awesome. You know what I'm saying?
Technically, I really don't. Like, she's very independent. She does whatever she wants.
That's true. But
I don't have no control over
that,
her.
Well, really?
Not really.
All right. So shout out to Ashton.
Yep,
you know what I'm saying?
Out.
Known since way back. You know what I'm saying? Way, way back. Knowing her, she's also very serious about music.
Very.
You know what I mean? So
that was something we shared.
Yeah. So what are some of the ones like music that you guys shared in common? Like loves of music that you guys shared in common?
Remarkably, she's actually put me onto a lot of what have become my favorite artists.
Uh-huh.
She put me on to Kendrick early, Dom Kennedy early,
yeah.
Overdose early.
Yeah.
She's just been my West Coast kind of education.
Yeah.
Yep.
Have you guys ever had debates on music? Like debates on stuff that like she likes that you don't like, or you all like that she don't like? Like, what's some examples?
I'm very kind of more so East Coast oriented, and yeah. she's very West Coast oriented. So we'll be in the car, like, you know, listening to K-Day, and it'll be just some song like I'm vaguely familiar with or not familiar with at all, and she'll be like, oh, this is you know,
the jam,
my jam.
And you'd be like, nah.
I'm just like, I'm not really feeling this.
Like E-40, I know a lot of people on East Coast don't like E-40. Why not?
She's more an E-40 than I am. He's very, I mean, I respect him.
Yeah.
I respect his legacy. He's been in the game forever. He's done a lot. But he's very kind of complex. He's like his way of spitting and his way of just kind of laying down his game is very, like, to an East Coast person, it's very kind of strange.
Really?
Let's just say.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, East Coast, you just straight boom bap, you know, person raps over the beat. And E-40's all over the track. You know, he's spitting, like, his flow is, like, all over the place. Kind of to an East Coast person, that's, like, really unorthodox, let's just say.
Okay. But coming here, what are some of the things that are different from you? Some of the things that maybe you had to get used to? Or
driving.
Driving?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm used to 24-hour public transportation.
Yeah.
It is easy public transportation everywhere, so.
What about, like, let's say, culturally, music, like, the style of how people's demeanor is, like the differences in is there much of a difference between like culture over in the East and coming out here?
I find
dealing with people, maybe.
I find that it's very kind of similar in a way where it's like, if you're a native of LA or you're a native of New York, it's not like you have your pride in it, but it's not so much of a big thing, you know. But when you're a New York transplant or a LA transplant, it's like, oh my goodness, I live in New York, or oh my goodness, I live in LA. Like, this is just the biggest deal in the world to me. But like, if you've been here your whole life, it's not so much of a big deal, which is why moving here, it has not been a big deal, because, you know, my lady, she's been here her whole life. I'm just kind of acclimated to, you know, her life and just being around kind of regular LA people. Her friends are not really the Hollywood type, the extra type. So, and I'm not that type at all.
Right.
So I don't even, like, I don't know if people could tell I'm from New York just looking at me. Like, I don't carry myself like I'm from New York. It's just where I'm from.
Right.
You know, and so just in that regard, it's been pretty cool because I've just been around regular people, not, you know, not what some people might think when they think of a LA person.
What are mostly the impressions of what an LA person would be like if on the East Coast? Because like West Coast, we usually, like, I think the general stereotype New Yorker, it might be like Timberlands, very boisterous, you know what I'm saying, things like that, but still cool, but stuff like that. What is usually the idea of what LA folks are like if they're not direct, you know, the typical LA person or typical LA black person, at least?
Flashy and extravagant.
Really?
Kind of. That's the perception you get. Like, same thing with kind of like Miami. Basically, what you see on TV, but there's just a whole bigger, you know, city that they never show you.
Okay.
On television. Yeah. Like, Miami, all you see is the palm trees. You don't see, you know, the hood of Miami. Or, you know, on TV, you don't really see the hood of L.A. unless it's a show based around it or a movie based around, you know, the hood of L.A. But the perception is just generally, oh, everything is flashy and extravagant.
Right.
And It's a regular kind of city. It's a big city, but it's a regular city.
Did you grow up watching like Friday and Menace and stuff like that?
I saw Menace when I got older, but yeah, like Friday.
Yeah. So like, what was your impression of LA, even like seeing that? Because that's probably like the closest good depiction, even if it's comedy, like depiction of like, I know those people, you know what I'm saying? Even for me. Did you feel like any of those characters or any of that was even recognizable to you?
No, I didn't really get a sense of L.A. When watching Friday. I just got a sense of just some black people hanging out.
Yeah.
Like, they were relatable to, like, the East Coast. Like, really? The kind of situations they were in.
Yeah.
You know, maybe some of the streets and some of the, you know, things like that were different. But just, you know, the situations they were getting themselves into, it was kind of a universal kind of black movie. Friday was very popular in the East Coast.
Really? Yeah. Okay. Interesting. So let's get into more of the stuff that you do and things like that, like such as the writing and journalism and things like that. When did you start doing that?
Writing about 2004.
Okay.
Yeah, my former mentor, she just suggested, she was like, you're really into music. Why don't you start writing about it?
Yeah.
So I started with All Hip Hop, was not paid. It was just kind of just, you know, getting my feet wet, just writing different reviews, things like that. Been through a few sites of my own. Had a little blog spot before it was, you know, before people had their own URLs. Been with Hip Hop DX now for 2 years.
Okay.
So exposure, I get paid now.
Nice.
It's it's not bad.
So what have you seen as a change, maybe? Because I feel like there has been a change, especially online, in terms of online reviews and journalism and all that stuff. Like, what are some of the changes that you've seen happen, maybe even like either business-wise or things like that? Like, what are some of the biggest changes you've seen happen?
Journalism is kind of a dying breed. I feel like the blogging thing is taking over, to where it's just, if you're a blogger, you get, you know, various MP3s from record labels. Mm. That's kind of the shift now, where all of the money is going in that direction. And then there's been the whole thing where it's like site hits are the most important thing, whether it's, you know, there could be an artist that just came out a couple of months ago or just got big a couple of months ago that, you know, you and I really would not be a fan of. Mm-hmm. But a site would have to cover it because that's what everyone else is a fan of, and that's what's bringing in the site traffic. So that's been kind of the bigger shift now, is the shift towards site clicks and things of that nature.
You know, I've always found it interesting because I've seen a couple blogs saying that they're covering what people want, but no. Do you think that there's a point at which the blog also can change or introduce what people may want or like? You know what I mean? Because I feel like there's a lot of people look at blogs also as being the gatekeepers of a lot of introducing things, just like radio. You know what I mean? So do you feel that to some extent some of these same blogs or websites could at least do the job of filtering or creating a market space for other people? Or
some of them do that, and some of them try to find a balance between what people want to hear and kind of breaking new acts. Mm-hmm. But it's hard when everything is kind of just a business decision now, and you're not doing it for, you know, for the sake of a passion or for the sake of, you know, this idea of breaking new artists is important to me.
Right.
When it's just become, you know, oh, I have to make money doing this.
Right. Right.
It's hard to find that balance.
In terms of artists that you've interviewed, what are some of the favorite artists that you've interviewed, favorite interviews, interviews you've done?
Truthfully, I just reach out to, like, they're not on my podcast. They're just on my site, and I just type them up. But truthfully, I just reach out to whoever I kind of, whoever I like, but that I have access to.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I know your publicist or I've built up a relationship with you, I've done Jean Grey, Black Milk, DJ Artistic.
Yeah.
My homie.
What up, homie?
His interview is pretty good.
Yeah.
These are all on my site, going radio. But it's just something I've kind of recently started. Are you guys familiar with Vince Staples?
Vince Staples? I know that
LA
name.
Rapper.
I definitely know that name.
Signed to Def Jam. His interview on Hip Hop DX by me is very good.
Yeah.
One of my favorite interviews from last year.
Yeah. I feel like that Overdose interview, I was reading that too. That was
I did that one.
Really interesting seeing, you know, they really remind me a lot of like the Far Side. There's a lot of things with groups coming out of LA that are very unique and very, especially them, that they have these kind of witty and crazy personalities that all mesh together and they know each other and things like that, that I feel is really kind of a interesting cycle out of a lot of hip hop artists coming out of LA. The podcast, Go In Radio. As far as your own show, your podcast, like what is I guess you could say the mission statement or so far of Go In Radio, your thing?
I try to support the underdogs, and I'm not just going to play anybody's song just because you are an underdog. I just try to support a lot of music that I like. Okay. There's a lot of music I like that does not stand a chance of getting on regular rotation. You know, the big channels, the Power 99s, the Hot 97s, you'll never hear their music on these bigger stations. Mm-hmm. So between that and just kind of our running journal if you want to say, of my life. Like, I talk about almost everything going on in my life, to where it's just, it's become like my therapist couch. Like, that was how it started in 2008. Was, you know, I was going through some things, and I was just like, okay, I'm going to buy a mic, and I'm going to talk about it, and I'm going to play some music that I'm into.
Yeah.
And 6 years later, some people are paying attention to it, and I have semi-frequent listeners, and it's...
Do you see yourself doing radio, like doing real, like terrestrial radio, as they call it?
If it were to happen, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't turn down the opportunity.
Word.
At all.
All right, for sure.
Yep.
Well, you know, continuing on that, as you were talking about music and whatnot, I want to get into this jam that you brought through. You know what I mean? Well, actually, the way that we usually do it is we're supposed to play one first, and then the guest plays one last. So should we do it that way? Sure. Does it really matter?
Yeah, fine.
It's my call, really.
Yeah. I like the guessing game format where like y'all give clues as to, and then I got to try to guess. I think
it's better that you go first, because the song that I'm going to play is a little bit more recent, and we have a connection on the one on the idea of what we're going to play. So I want you to go first, and then I want to get into that other topic that you were talking about. Jesse came through. Clearly, we're connected here. We want to talk about songs that need to be retired, jams that need retirement. Right. So we're gonna go with your jam first, and then go into ours, and then we're going to have a discussion on that and whatnot. So go ahead, do the light introduction of this song.
This just takes you back to, you know, I'm not sure how old everyone is, but and I'm getting up there in my age, and just...
You got to be at least 20-something.
No, man. I'm an old guy.
Really?
I turned 34 in May.
Nah,
I was born in
black. Don't crack.
I was born in 1980, but just hanging out with your parents, you know, just your parents' music, basically. That's what this is to me.
So, right. Yeah. You already know what it is. Did you tell him?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, we can't even really. All right. So we're just gonna get right into it. You know, this is one of your jams for sure, and I'm sure this is the jam. If there's a time capsule that says definitions of jams, or at least, like, you know, in the jam encyclopedia, this is definitely one of them, which has spawned many a jam after it.
Yes.
Oh, you know it's a big jam out here.
Right.
Completely. You know what I'm saying? Parliament Flashlight. Let's go for it. All right. Oh, Jesus Christ, those horns. I need somebody, if anybody's parents was around when this first came out, I need somebody to come in and explain to me what happened when this song first came out. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of roller skating.
Yes.
And roller skating rings.
And there's so many parts of this song that have been sampled and broken up into everybody else's, I mean, little pieces.
You know what's interesting too? Is that every song has that breakdown. I feel like this song is a bunch of breakdowns.
Yes,
like,
it is.
It's a bunch of breakdowns from the start to the finish. It's just like, it's like one big ass breakdown. It's just funky.
Yeah. I've always wondered what goes on in George Clinton's head when he puts music together, when he's writing songs. Like, what sparked this? What was the impetus for this particular track? And all the little, like, everything, all the little parts that he sings, the chorus at the end, like, I really would love to sit and ask him what his thought process is, his writing process for songs.
I definitely think drugs played it.
Definitely drugs. A lot of drugs. Yeah.
Like, no normal person could come up with all this.
Also, a lot of just not caring. A lot of not caring. What is this about? What is this song? Why is he saying flashlight? What is this about?
Flashlight. I don't know. Neon.
Everybody
light.
Got a little light under the sun? I don't know.
Spotlight.
Yeah, again, this goes back to, it's a jam when you don't understand what they're talking about, but you don't care.
No, it doesn't matter.
I'm going to try to Google this right now, see what facts I can come up with flashlight. And this is like a universal song. Everybody knows this song, you know? It's so damn funky.
Oh, this came out the year I was born.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Same day, too? Birthday's on it.
No, that would be something else.
January 1978. Distinctive bait. Oh, Bootsy Collins.
There you go.
Jesus Christ.
But it wasn't him who performed it. But his older brother Catfish Collins is on the song. Did you see that?
I love that name.
Yeah. Catfish Collins. And George Clinton is good for these 10 to 15 minute party joints.
It's like one long jam session. Let's just play.
Buddy's got a little light under the sun.
Sing it.
That's the joint. We have one of our podcast intros that starts with just that line.
Hey, who was first? Was Fela first or was George Clinton first? I feel like they were so damn connected.
They were around the same point.
Yeah. God, I wish they could have met.
You know,
that right there is crazy.
And it just fade out. Like, damn.
Everybody's remember that got on the Snoop Dogg like,
album, though?
Yes.
Yeah. W Balls?
Yes.
Classic.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a little light under the
sun.
That's so poetic.
It is.
Yeah, enough space for everybody to get down.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's such a positive thing to me, at least.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fela, like, to me, you know what I mean? Like, the way that they got the face paint and the costumes and stuff like that. It's very, you know, it just has that whole just complete black essence. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's start with you, Jesse. Like, where do you remember when you first heard this or your first recognition of this is the jam?
This song?
Yeah.
Oh, no clue. Just being around my parents. I know.
Yeah.
I think the first time I heard Atomic Dog, my dad somehow had it. He had it like the video on like VHS. He taped it from some show.
Oh yeah, yeah. And the video's hilarious.
And I just remember like these cartoons, like these cartoon dogs or something, but I don't remember Flashlight when I first heard it. No, not at all. Definitely.
It's just always been there.
Yeah,
right?
Being around my parents. Just
Yeah. Chris?
Yeah, I'm the same way. I think it's just parents played it. I don't know if the first time I heard it was in a car. Possibly. Because, you know, back then, your parents just, they play what they want. It's their radio. And this one was just like, this is different.
Yeah.
Like, but, you know, it's so long. At some point, you're like, man, it's kind of funky.
Yep.
Most of all, we need to funk.
Kim?
This was one of my mother's albums that was in regular rotation. And so I remember just this song, what, the Tear the Roof Off the Mother Sucker. What's that other song that my friend put her name in it doing? And Shaya says Shaya, like her name is actually in the song. I can't remember the name of that song, but that whole album, my mom would just play it. It would be one of our joints, and I'd be in there dancing in the house with her when it was on. Like Jesse said, Atomic Dog was kind of it for me. That song was everything when I heard it, and it still to me is a really powerful song when it comes on. But yeah, Parliament to me was a movement. I feel the last time we had guests on here, who was it that was telling us their parent would love to talk about when the mothership would land? what that experience was like coming up during the time when they were, you know, young and doing their shows and had all those people on stage and just having that experience.
Where did the mothership come from? Was it like in the ceiling or like
apparently,
like, did they bring that down?
I don't know. Apparently, he did some show. What was she, Merk? What was Jack.
Nola Darling. Shout out.
Yeah, did she say they were over at the Coliseum?
Either the Coliseum or the Forum.
And the mothership came in. It was.
Yeah.
I have no idea where it was. How they did it. No clue.
You know, I think of Sun Ra. I think of Fela, and I think of Parliament, and this idea. You know, because as it was mentioned in the whole Afrofuturism idea of black people being, you know what I'm saying, somewhere else. That whole Octavia Butler thing, that the whole escape of the world or oppression or whatever it is, you know what I'm saying, going to that next level. I can't remember when I first heard this song. I mean, it's just one of those songs where I think when I first heard it, it was just kind of understood, like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the jam, like, right. Clearly. To this day, you can't stop it. No. You put it on at a party, who's going to be mad?
Right. And, like, Parliament's influence is so heavy. I mean, I feel like you could see influence from Parliament from anybody from, like, Outkast all the way to Jamiroquai, you know, like... It's huge.
You know, I guess it's interesting too when we talk about the difference between the East Coast and the West Coast, because I always felt like George Clinton and them probably weren't played on the East Coast or whatever, or that it was a different feel. Like, no,
universal black people loved them.
Yeah.
Well, music fans loved them.
Okay.
Like, so my dad was big into them.
So I could go into Brooklyn and throw that on, and everybody's gonna be,
if they're a music fan.
It's universal, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, it is.
It connects both of us. And people forget there was, like, especially in, like, the early 90s hip hop coming from the East Coast, they sampled a lot of George Clinton too. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of times they always attribute it to the West Coast in terms of, like, the bass lines and stuff like that. But, you know, you listen to EPMD and Redman and all that stuff, that came from that too, you know, the funk and all that stuff. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what else to say. I mean, it's just, it's the jam. Like,
it is.
That's it.
It's a classic jam.
I say that too, classic jam.
All right, look, I'm gonna get into this next one. This is also a George Clinton inspired song. Kim was very happy when I mentioned this one.
Yes.
Kim, how about if you do the light introduction of this song?
Oh, man. Okay, so it is very West Coast in essence, because so much of West Coast music is at the same time giving you a crazy beat to dance to and glorifying violence all at the same time. Yeah. And it does not stop the party at all. The gangsters are dancing to it. Yep. Everybody's dancing to it. And this is one of those songs where technically I don't really know what my man is talking about, truthfully. But right. The hook is one we're all singing. When it comes on, how old were we when this song came out? Was this high school? Was this college?
It came out in 94.
Oh, so yeah, this was high school. Yeah. And I do remember that he was local. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of, when this dropped, a lot of local MCs were like, yeah, we know, dude. And he's been around for a long time. And he finally got him a little radio hit. And this joint banged for a while.
Yeah. It still
bangs. It still
bangs. Do you have any guesses, Jesse?
No clue. I mean, I'm sure I'm going to know it when I hear it, but 94 West Coast, where you don't know what the person is talking about? No.
I know what the person is talking about, like, slightly.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit, only because, you know, after repeating the song so many times and the chorus, you can pretty much...
Yeah, you get where
the chorus is actually what tells you what the song is all about. And that's it. Yeah. The verses, oh, you're not quite sure.
Huh? Yeah. Can I take a guess?
Yes, please.
Domino Ghetto Jam?
No. No.
Oh.
Oh,
that's a good one.
No, I got a good Domino Ghetto Jam.
I'll give you two more guesses. Ghetto Jam came out around 93.
I'm all out of guesses.
All out of guesses?
Yeah, it bumps a little harder.
Without further ado, one of my favorite jams. This is Volume 10. Pistol Grip Pump.
I've heard of the song. I'm not very familiar with it.
Oh, what? All right, I'm about to get
this is
a My lady would be more familiar with this.
All necks are bobbing right now. All heads are bobbing. Sing it. I was raised in the hood called What the Dip. Brothers in the hood be chivalrous, so I rest defense.
Pistol Grip
Pump on my lap, risking it though. You want to talk about E-40.
All over a track.
And I'm saying, ain't no question who the man is. I see the boo, I can't move. Come on, what you say? Pistol grip pump on my lap at all times.
Yeah, this song would bring the gangsters out. This was real deal in 94.
Apparently, this is a very big stepping song also.
Yeah.
I guess I can see that.
Yeah, it's a very big stepping song.
Yeah.
this came out in 94, and it felt like it came out the future. Like, there was this, it has that clear Atomic Dog sample, but like, I just felt like it was not a 94, it was not a sound of anything that was coming out around that time. It didn't have like a, it doesn't sound dated even now.
Who produced this?
Baker Boys. Mm. The Baker Boys, the fucking DJs, Friday Night Flavors. They did this and a couple other tracks, but like, yeah, this is, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Latino cats. Yeah. Latino cats made one of the hardest West Coast records you ever heard, man.
And they had a hit with this one because Volume 10 had to be like, what, late 30s?
Really?
When he did this?
Yeah, really? Been doing it for a minute.
Volume 10 is an older dude.
Really?
He's an older dude.
What clique was he part of?
The whole Freestyle Fellowship, Good Life.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Project Blowed,
yeah.
All that. He's right around the corner.
Right.
Yeah.
We weren't up on this on the East Coast.
You never heard this song before?
This wasn't big on the East Coast.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah. Look, it's about the only track that I remember from Volume 10 that was as big as it was.
Yeah. He's letting you know the pistol grip pump on my lap at all times. This is still like when Gangsters was, you know, Bloods and Crips was still out there, and he's letting you know I'm always strapped. Yeah.
Niggas be fucking with other motherfuckers, but they ain't fucking with mine.
Apparently, this song is affiliated with A5A. I guess this is y'all's song.
I could totally see that.
That's who you are?
Yeah.
I'm oh, word, that. Word. Hey, man, step colors? Show, man.
You see the colors you got on?
Next step show, man. We got to see you on the... On the floor.
I'm not a cue, by the way. I just have on purple today.
No rivalries. No rivalries. Well, I guess the first time you heard this song is now, Jesse.
Just now.
Yeah, it's just now. I mean, what do you think?
It's a hard song. My water was like rumbling. Like, I could see like the bass was like.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Man. Chris?
Man. I heard this somewhere at school. This is probably 94, junior year. Somebody probably had it on the tape or something and was like, "Yo, you heard this?"
Uh-huh.
And you just like, damn. You're like, you just want to play it in the car.
Yeah.
And you put it in the car. Oh, my God. You just all down the streets.
Yeah.
When this was hit, it was just you couldn't even hear the lyrics. It was just trunks vibrating.
Yeah. When you had to have sounds in your car.
Ooh. Yes.
You had to have sounds in your car, man. And the car itself might have been like a Honda Civic, but that thing just had like... 15s in the back.
Yeah, because in the 90s, people out in LA were so good for taking their cars to Allen Ed's and getting their stock radio system replaced.
Did you say Allen Ed's? I only pass by that place every once in a while, man.
Allen Ed's was the place where you could go and get a whole new system for your car, and folks would trick their cars out with new systems, ridiculous speakers, woofers, all kind EQs, of foolishness. Yeah, and this was one of those songs that people were playing forever because you hear the person before you see him.
Yep.
Was there a video?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. The video is crazy too.
If it came on the box or Rhapsody and it wasn't East Coast, I was just I was a hater. I was trying to
Understandable. I wish I had been old enough to chill on Crenshaw just to see them cruise just to you did that.
I did that for you.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I probably would only stay for about 5 minutes and then you know, to avoid getting hurt, but
right.
When did I first? I mean, 94, 93. Look, man, my real coming of age because we moved to LA around 91, and I was taping a lot of stuff off the radio. But between like 92 to 95, I was taping stuff off the radio all the time. And Friday Night Flavors, I'm very sure Friday Night Flavors was the first time, Baker Boy Show, Friday Night Flavors was the first time that I heard this song. Because they produced it, and as they should put it on heavy rotation. And, you know, that's with all the other underground stuff, but, like, when I heard it during the daytime, all that stuff, I think the first time I heard it, I was like, what is this fool talking about? What is he talking about, man? But the beat was just so hard, and he just did not care, you know what I'm saying, the way that he was rhyming. He just didn't care, and that was kind of the mark to me of even respecting an MC to go out on a limb just to act a fool on the beat, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But man, I love it. And even to this day, and I think one of my homies, Clint, the white homie from Portland, what up, Clint? He even knew. He was like, man, every time this song comes on, man, like, it's just, it's the jam. Like, he loves it too. It's just hard, man.
It is.
You know, so, you know, it's just one of my favorites. And I remember when I texted Kim earlier, I was like, I think I'm going to play Pistol Grip Hump by Volume 10. She's like, oh, I may not be able to contain myself when this comes up. But yeah, man, that's my jam, dude. Mm-hmm. So anyway, let's get real quickly into this other part of the discussion. Jesse, I already know, I feel like you came in with a list of songs that need to be retired. Okay, yeah. At least four songs that need to be retired. Yeah. Let's go ahead. Let's start with that.
First off, disclaimer, no offense to anybody listening from out here and you guys, but if you could take a guess, what's one song that needs to be retired?
It's clearly West Coast.
Clearly West Coast.
Gin and Juice?
No, well...
This is how we do it.
No.
No?
Yeah, please retire.
Although, yeah, although, I would co-sign. Look, I'm sorry.
That's a classic. California Love.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, it kind of needs to. However, I will say the remix.
Yeah.
The remix of California Love, I can hear more and more. But yeah. See, California Love, when that song came out, I remember when I first heard it and they premiered it, I was like, oh, my God, this is a hit.
That was so long ago.
I know, but
and it's been so played out since.
No, I'll tell you right now, they played that song so much to the point where the year that it came out, I was like, yeah.
We were tired of it in the first month.
Yeah.
Yeah, they
it was so much. It was so much. And I mean, if I ever play that song, I play the remix. I think it's generally been retired. I don't know anybody else. I remember one time I was doing like a New Year's party a couple of years ago and somebody asked for it and I was like, okay. And I put it on and everybody was like, they looked at me and I was like, she asked for it. And she was like, yeah. And then she looked around and was like, oh, you guys don't like the song? And it was like,
been there, done that.
Yeah, we're kind of over it.
Can we please put This Is How We Do It, though, with that stack?
I don't think so.
That song is tired.
We can't do it.
I love it, though. I still love it.
Look, man, I played that song in a...
Shut it out.
I played that song at a prom last year. They asked for that song. I played it, and that actually is what got everybody on the dance floor. Like, I played a lot of new stuff, and there were some kids that got on there. But I played that, and everybody started dancing. I played it recently at an elementary school party. All the kids got on the dance floor. Like,
I'd so rather you play Slick Rick Children's Story.
Me too. But it's funny. Like, it's something about when that song comes on, man. This is how we do.
I have an opposite effect.
Really?
I will be on the floor and that come on. I'm leaving. I'm like, all right, let me sit
sitting
down.
This is how we do. It calls everybody, man.
It does, but it's
Yeah, I got actually that song reminds me of another one. We'll see if it's not already on your list. What's the next one, Jess?
Again, no disrespect to the older generation, but we have to retire Frankie Beverly and Maze Before I Let Go.
Ooh, I don't know.
I know it's sacred, but I'm tired of it being like the crown staple of every black event. Like
Yeah,
I'm so tired of it.
I don't know.
It's great. It's a classic, but I'm tired of it.
Well, judges,
that's hard.
I can understand, but I feel like I don't hear it that much. I haven't heard it that much lately.
Every time,
but I think yeah. I think for people like 50 and up, like it's always on. It's the stepping song.
Yeah,
like,
that's their jam.
I'm tired.
Yeah.
But the thing is, I will say, Frankie Beverly and Maze have such a vast
catalog. So many better songs in there.
That
or
you
more
could
songs
pull in,
it.
Something else. Yeah. But that is the one that gets them up doing their little cha-cha. Mm-hmm. That's what it is. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just haven't heard it that much, but I can imagine, yes, after a while, let's work something else in here. Let's get something else. I feel like you're going to say a Gap Band song next. Are you? Are you going to say a Gap Band song?
The
please
last
don't.
Tour hip-hop.
Oh, okay. All right.
Jay-Z, Give It To Me, Retire It.
I'll be honest. I was over it the first time I heard it.
Yeah.
Because after the
but
first...
But it's still everywhere. Yeah. Look, you can't go to a party without hearing it.
Look, I'm going to say right now, like, this is probably one of my first times saying this, like, very openly, like, on... especially public space. I'm very tired of Jay-Z quoting Biggie. And he did it a lot then. And I remember being in the car with a bunch of people. I forget where we were driving to, and they premiered the song. And the first bars, he did the whole Biggie thing. I was like, are you serious? And everybody else in the car was like, come on, man. Like quoting that much Biggie. And then after the song played, the DJ was like, man, that was so hot. I'm going to play it again. He played it right again. I said, what? Come on, man. Like, really. Like, after Hard Knock Life, I felt like the Biggie grafting became way too much. Yeah. It just became way too much for me. I'll never forget. I felt like my point was proven when, in college, a bunch of people made sure that one of the homies, they were like, he had never heard Ready to Die. They were like, you're not coming out of your dorm and you're not coming out of dinner until you finish listening to this album. You're going to listen to this album and then you're going to come downstairs. And they told me that. I was like, nice. So he came down and I was like, hey, man, what'd you think of Ready to Die? He was like, man, that album's classic. And then he said, yo, some of my favorite Jay-Z lines are on that album. And I said, my case is closed. My case is closed. It's too much. And when he did that, because he was already quoting Biggie a lot then, but when he did that, I was like, no, I was just over it. I was over it when I first heard it, personally.
Yeah, I saw that it was a kind of a hit. A lot of people liked the video, but in terms of all the singles Jay-Z had, that's not really one of my favorites. Yeah, no. That can be retired. If I don't hear that again, I never
need to hear it again.
No. Yeah.
DJs, if you mix that in, make it funky. Do something with it. Do something that changes it up, because I'm so over it. I'm so over it, man. Yeah. All right, next one.
Last one. I'm sorry. Please, Chris, don't kick me out of your house. I heard the Dilla episode. I heard you say this guy is in your top three producers of all time.
Oh, Lord.
But please don't kick me out of your house.
No, sorry.
They reminisce over you.
I'm so tired of it.
I'm so tired of it. It's not a bad song. No.
You're hurting me. You're hurting me, Jess. No. You're hurting me.
No, that's the quintessential old school hip hop set song. You have to play this every time.
I think lately it's been trendy to play that song.
It's been trendy for years. Well, me coming from the East Coast, it's been trendy.
I could see you being tired of it.
I'm so tired of it. Yes. I don't hate the song. I'm just like, do I need to hear it every time I go out?
I can't admit it. I can't say yes, but I can't say no, but I understand.
I'm talking about retired from a DJ standpoint.
From
a party standpoint.
Cut it out.
No, I wouldn't skip it like if it came on the CD.
Right.
On Megan the Soul Brother. But it's just like, do I need to hear it on the radio all the time?
Yeah, if they're gonna play like we gonna take you back to something and then they go to that, you like
All the time, and he got hit,
and you gonna play that?
Yeah,
like, yeah, duh.
It's a great song, but it's just all the time.
It's too safe. It's a little safe.
It is safe.
It is a little safe.
Yeah. I have one.
Nah.
Speaking of safe, the Fat Man Scoop, Faith Evans song.
I'm so over that song.
What song is this?
Love Like This with Fat Man Scoop.
Yeah.
Retire it.
Oh, the one with Fat Man Scoop. Yeah, just retire it.
Yeah. Aside from
Mixed Drop!
I thought you had that one.
Yeah. If you got $100 bill to it. Shut up. Stop it. DJs, cut it out. You know what I would rather hear in place of that? Let Me Clear My Throat. I would rather hear that.
Let Me Clear My Throat is a jam.
I would really rather hear that. Yeah. So that cut it out with the Fat Man Scoop.
That Mark the 45 King in there.
Mm-hmm. I'm so over that. Please stop playing that song. The next one that I'll personally say, I'll just contribute this one because there's lots, and we'll probably continue this discussion more. I'm very tired of Return of the Mac. Very tired of that song.
But it had its resurgence kind of due to Fonte.
I don't think so. I think that song had a resurgence.
People started talking about it all over.
I feel like it had a resurgence forever. I feel like I've been in so many places where girls were like, can you play Return of the Mac? Or, you know, that song comes on and everybody's like, yeah. I'm so over that song. Like, as one of the things that I could really not hear that song anymore.
When it came out, I thought it was one of the worst songs I had ever heard.
I thought it was hilarious.
But when you look at it, like, if you could listen to it now compared to everything on radio today, it sounds good compared to that stuff.
Listen, I listened to Love to Love You recently and I felt like Magoo had a great verse. And I hated his verse when it first came out, and I said, I feel like maybe that's a sign in the times, because that when that first came out, I said, if this dude don't shut up But now I'm like, yeah, this verse is hot.
Yeah, the bar has been lowered.
Times
yeah.
are changing.
No, okay, I thought it was just me. I thought it was just me.
No, I agree with you. Like, when I Returning to Mac first came out, I was like,
this is horrible.
Skip, this isn't that hot. But yeah, yeah, with the crap that's out now, you're like,
this is all right.
This would be a damn hit to death right now. Yeah.
Chris, Kim, any contributions of songs that need to stop?
The saddest thing ever is that now I cannot get This Is How We Do It out of my head. Y'all really do need to stop playing it. DJs are perpetuating the stereotype that song is hot. It never was.
You didn't like it in 91?
This whole time,
ever.
This whole time we've been talking, that shit has just been cycling.
I'm just like, was no, it, no, I don't.
It's that generic, like.
I can't stand it.
Was it because they redid Chandra Story, basically?
No, it wasn't that. I just did not think it was a good song. I do Listen. Not. I don't care for Montel's voice. I think his voice is terrible.
Okay.
And then it was just another one of those songs like, we just gonna make this West Coast jam. And I'm like, there is nothing about this that feels...
You don't even like the rap?
No.
Like,
yeah. No.
But now I'm a big...
dollar bill, y'all. Oh, if you...
You know what singing it. You're singing it. That's the thing. That's the
it
thing.
It played constantly. Hey, constantly, listen.
They played
constantly.
It too.
Listen.
Damn.
Listen. You guys got to understand something. This is a secret. I'm about to lay down game. Listen. These early episodes of the jam, y'all, if you, any of y'all are songwriters, any of that, I'm laying down game for you. We all are. There's a psychological aspect to this. If you can make it stick into somebody's head, even if they don't want it there, it's a hit. It's not always a great way. It's not easy to always find that thing. That's why when I say that the definition of a jam is the perfect mix of the melody and the rhythm, that perfect mix, you can't all, it's not a silver bullet, but once you get that silver bullet, it's there. And so I'm saying, like, when it sticks in somebody's head, whether you want it to be there or not, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, what can you do? You kind of have to give up and just let it be, like, and sing it or whatever, even when you don't want to. But
and you know what it was? You know, because even though I know Montel is from the West Coast, because I know a whole lot of folks that went to school with him, he went to Pepperdine, all kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I just did not believe him. I did not believe him. Yeah. I didn't.
And was he trying to be hard or anything?
It was very popish. To me,
it was South Central. South Central does it like nobody does.
Yeah.
Hey, you never. Hey, look, man. I seen him in person. Dude is like 6 foot something.
Yeah, he's super tall.
You know, back in the day, a lot of these R&B singers are thug on the low. So he might have, you know what I'm saying? He might have, you know, popped you and crip walk on you. You never know.
I just was not buying what it was.
It
had
it was like a West Coast sound, but like a pop version. And that's probably was like, this is, oh, so I want like Lil Susie in the suburbs to like West Coast. I'm gonna put this on.
Yeah.
That's how it felt to me. It's like, okay, this is,
well,
this is
versus, it's a very commercial song.
This is
song.
A PG digestible.
It is.
In comparison to songs that I would consider truly authentic West Coastness, it was very much contrived to be a universal West Coast musical experience.
I mean, I'll put it this way. I allow it because at least I can play it for the kids.
Yeah, because the true West Coast shit, you can't.
No. You know, if
it's not for the kids.
Yeah, even TQ. What was it? Is it TQ? You don't remember him?
God, I remember. Yeah.
Yes.
They shot my baby.
I can't.
You remember TQ?
I remember TQ. I don't remember you song.
TQ was the R&B thug. He was the West Coast R&B thug.
We're going to find a song.
Okay.
We're going to find a song. You'll be like, jog my memory.
Yeah, he was like walking around like wife beaters.
Yes. Yeah. He was like, he was the West Coast Jaheim.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And if we play that, if you want to get the real R&B West Coast thug, you don't really want that. You don't really want your kids dancing that. I'll let them dance with some Montel. You know what I mean? So I want to get him in here. Let's debate him on that. I feel like he had a couple other songs I liked that were kind of jamming. I mean, you didn't. You know, you remember that song? I Like.
By Guy?
No, by Montel.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, he had a
I like
Slick Rick
Go
Rhyming.
Somewhere and Get It Home Tonight.
Yeah.
Go Somewhere and Get It Home Tonight.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go Somewhere and Get It Home.
Yeah.
I did like that song better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did like
that
song.
That was a good comeback song.
Tonight, you. Listen, if Montel, if you're still in L.A., come on to the show, man. You know what I'm saying? We don't mean it. I feel like there's a story behind it. There's probably, I bet he's so tired of performing it, too.
I heard he's in the church.
Yeah?
Heard he's like a preacher or something.
I believe it. I believe it. I saw him perform it maybe around 2004, 2005, and you couldn't stop the crowd. You couldn't stop them. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I wonder what it's like for him on that other end having to perform that song, you know what I'm saying, on the other end. So, Montel, if you're out there, man, come on. Come on down to the show. You know what I'm saying? Do you have any other ones? Anything else you can think of real quick?
I know the ones he would like to get rid of.
Anything that's, well, for me at a party, it's just, and you know, they play it just cause, but any of them old cha-cha slide, any of them dance stuff.
Any song shouting directions, Chris is cool on.
19 times to the left. 4 times to the right. Cha-cha, real smooth now. That, I've done a lot of weddings, a lot of DJing. I play that. I play that damn wobble song.
Yeah.
A lot of those. They love those. Yeah. Yeah. You know, Jesse. Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah,
get rid of the wobble.
Yeah. I'm very ready for it to go.
Yeah, that can go.
But you can't stop it, man. Black folks, you put it on.
You gotta. It's, if I'm going to a party and I know it's people my age and older and they want to, mm-hmm. I'm like, they're going to play. It's coming. I'm just like, all right, like, mm-hmm, it's coming. Mm-hmm. Get everybody on the dance floor.
Yeah.
Young and old will dance to it. I'm like, I'll just sit back and watch y'all with my drink.
Look, that's what we don't have enough of right now. I'm going to be honest. We don't have enough songs that everybody can join in. I can't even play the clean versions of some stuff. I did an elementary school. It was in South Central. Kid comes up to me. First of all, they sent it on their request list, and then they asked for it there. They're like, can you play My Hitter? I was like, no.
Not for kids.
No, I'm not playing that song. I'm not playing that song for kids, and I'm probably not really going to play it as much as I can, whether, you know, somebody's going to have to come and request it. You know what I'm saying? Whether it's the clean version or whatever. But it's like, when I heard nigga 59 times in a row, if not more, I was like, you know what? Now I understand why older people are a little mad. Matter of fact, I'm going to send you guys this link. There's an infographic. Somebody did a study on the words that have been used over time, like the popularity of certain words and themes or whatever. So, like, actually, if you look at the infographic of the words, the foul language and words like weed or love, even, you see a difference over time. Like, you don't see the word weed until like the 90s. You see over time foul language sharply rising over time, and then the word love kind of actually descending over time. You know what I mean? But, you know, it really says something to me about the songs that I can play for everybody, even if they are kind of played out. But I think that what people are latching on those played out songs is the fact that we can all dance to it together. Mm-hmm. Yes, you know what I mean? So, but yeah, some of them need to be retired. I'm sorry. Some of them got to go. We need new stuff. That's musicians out there. We need something else.
Yeah.
We can't keep, you know what I'm saying, finally getting together off of ideas that came out 25 years ago. Like, you know what I'm saying? So,
because he used to look forward to going to a party and hearing your new jam,
yes,
play, so you could finally dance to it in a public arena like that. Now you're just kind of living for the hits.
We better bring this to a close. Jesse, where can everybody find you and where you're at and all that stuff if they want to hit you up?
Goinradio.com. That is my URL. I don't really let everybody on my Facebook.
Okay.
Like, that's just for like close friends and family.
Right.
Twitter, spell out goinradio.com. Spell it all the way out. I think that's about it.
Okay. If I'm a singer or a rapper and I want to hit you up with my newest mixtape so that you can put it on Hip Hop DX, like, can I do that? Or,
oh, first off, I have no control over what goes on Hip Hop DX.
But still, man, I want you to review it. Like, can't you just review it?
That's up to the site's discretion, but you can.
Like, can I get on your website?
Tweet me. I'll play anybody's song that I like.
Okay.
Like, no matter how much.
But, like, if I, you know, constantly hit you up, like, on Twitter and your email and everything, like, will you please play it? Like,
I have
tell everybody about it?
I have to like it, and the best ways to do that are SoundCloud or Bandcamp.
If I pay you $100, will you still, like, tweet it, like, retweet it? If, like, because I need everybody, I need hits on my mixtape, so.
If I love it and you're willing to give me $100, I'm not going to charge you, but I'll take the $100, but I'm not going to play anything I don't like for $100, no.
Like, will you listen to my beats and stuff, too?
If I have time.
Can you give me a contact to, like, Overdose, like, get them on my mixtape and stuff?
Oh, I have no. No, I don't have their contact.
Even if I pay you, like, will you do that?
No, that's a waste of your money. I wouldn't have any way to get in contact with them.
I'm being facetious, but I already know that, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? They're going to be, yo, play my stuff. Can you play it? Can you listen to it? Can you play it? Can you review it? What do you think about it? Can I pay you? How much does it cost? So no. I just want to answer those questions now before you get bombarded with 1,000 emails.
No, you can't pay me enough. No.
All right. All right. Struggle rappers, listen up. Take heed.
Like, there's a way you go about, you got to kind of build relationships with people, kind of.
Right, right.
To really, and that's something I struggle with, like just trying to get, you know, promotion for the things I'm doing. And it's hard, but yeah, don't go annoying people.
Okay. All right. So if I just tap you on your shoulder 1,000 times, I just...
Nah.
All right. Okay.
Not a win.
Just checking. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes there's loopholes. Kim and Chris, anything else?
That's it.
No, it's good, man. Just another great episode.
Yes. Another great episode of The Jam. It's Merc 80, Kim and Chris, Jesse Fairfax, Go In Radio. That's Black Is Online, you know what I'm saying? Get familiar. And that's about it. We're calling it a day. Holler.
Like, oh shit, that's the jam. We'll be like, oh shit, that's the jam.